Amen, amen, amen. Let's get started. Can anybody tell me what this thing is? Somebody said Pepsi. It's a Coke, right? It's a Coke. Please don't say Pepsi no more. No, I'm playing. It's a Coca-Cola bottle. Did you know in 1923, Coca-Cola had this vision statement? And their vision statement was for them to be the most accessible brand in the world, where you can walk into any store in any country and buy a Coke. Do y'all know that vision statement came to pass? Somebody say amen. That vision statement came to pass in less than 100 years because they stuck to the vision. They didn't deviate from the plan. And now you can find Coke everywhere. As a matter of fact, Coke has kind of become all things to all their people that drink it, because you'll go to another country and it's a different flavor of Coke, but it's Coke. Somebody gonna get that tomorrow. The early church was the most effective during the first 200 years. They didn't have any marketing teams like Coke. They didn't have any ad agencies. They didn't have the internet. They didn't have Wi-Fi. They didn't have smartphones. They didn't have Google. What'd they have?
Jesus.
Say it loud. They had Jesus. Right? They had Jesus. They had access to the Holy Spirit. They got in their bag and they stood on kingdom business to do the Great Commission. They became all things to all men, right? They took the principles of becoming all things to reach many. They use many, many mediums to reach many with their gifts. Somebody say they got in their bag. They got in their bag. But let me go back to Coke. I don't know about y'all, or anyone has ever told you, but what Jesus has for you is way more thirst quenching, way more sweeter, and it's free. Way better than Coca-Cola, amen? Do I got a witness? Amen. So we can go spread that gospel. Amen. Let's get into our word. We're going to be at 2 Timothy. We'll be at verse 1, and we'll be going through 13, so chapter 1. And when you're there, holler at me. Can y'all stop me for a second? Actually, let me stop. Let me hold one thing I forgot. It's really important. I got to do this because the first service got it.
Yes. Yes.
So y'all got to get it too. We did this at PT, so here we go. Y'all ready? When I say fan, y'all say flame. Fan,
flame.
Fan,
flame.
When I say fan, y'all say flame. Fan,
flame.
Fan,
flame.
So I was testing them. When I say fan, y'all say flame. Fan,
flame.
Fan,
flame.
We on the front line, in the middle of a war like it's battle time. But not the war in Iraq, but the war in back of your mind. We family, and this is family business. For my cousin locked down, who can't be with us. For the kids in the hood that want to stunt on pictures, I pray to hear my voice echo through the ghetto. I pray the anointing reaches here to Soweto, South Africa, where they massacre. Genocide is real, even though they don't feel the effect. We feel the regret. It's time to catch them with the net, because the hook's too little. I paint a picture for your middle like a metaphor pixel, with a spirit feel real to show off your dental. Because kingdom business is the movement. Not for your amusement, but for the ones who need improvement. And yo, PT, tell them we really do this. Give God some praise. Amen. Amen. Somebody say holy bars.
Holy bars.
Yeah, that was holy bars which y'all just got. All right, let's get into this holy word. Let's get into this word. We're going to be at 2 Timothy 1 through 13. Here we go. Y'all bear with me. We're going to be reading for a little bit, all right? All right. When you're there, say word.
Word.
Man, y'all was quicker than the first service. Y'all got to understand, that first service had me up here waiting for like 5 minutes. I was like, do y'all read your Bible? No, I'm playing. All right, here we go. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers, recalling your tears. I long to see you. so that I might be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. And for this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join me in suffering for the gospel. By the power of God, he has saved and called us into a holy life. Not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. And this grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am, yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed. And I am convinced that he is able to guard what I have entrusted to him until that day. And what you heard from me, keep as a pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Will you join me in prayer? Holy Spirit, would you come? Lord, would you let the meditation of my heart and the words of my lips be pleasing to you, Father? Let the meditation of all of our hearts be pleasing to you, Father, our rock and our redeemer. Father, would you just remove me out of the equation and use me to get a word to your people, your beloved people today in Evanston. Lord, I thank you that you are in the business of restoration. I thank you that you are in the business of reconciliation. I thank you that you're in the business of healing and wholeness and making all things new. Thank you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you come? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. 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 Listen, Paul is telling Timothy some stuff in this text. I went through a lot of it, didn't I? He said, fan into flame the gift of God. Paul is reminding Timothy about his lineage, about Lois and Eunice, about their faith and how it was passed down from them. Paul told Timothy to guard the good deposit. That thing that God has given you to do all the things, to do all the stuff, guard it with the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And we understand that this good deposit that Paul is referring to encompasses everything that we have in Jesus, everything. The kingdom of God, the promise of life to come today, amen? Today I'm going to be speaking about the deposit that God has personally deposited into you. Paul said, guard that deposit, guard that good thing, and secure the bag. Amen. Can I hear y'all say, secure the bag?
Secure the bag.
I don't think y'all are convinced. Let me give you one time. Secure the bag.
Secure the bag.
Amen. Amen. The definition of secure is fixed, fastened, not to give way, become loose, or be lost. And I'm going to give you the Urban Dictionary definition of the bag, because some of us don't know what the bag means, but these young people, they know what it means. So here's the Urban Dictionary. Here we go. The word bag in the Urban Dictionary means a large sum of money or something of value obtained over time or from a single activity or associated with some sort of hustle. Can I hear y'all say the bag?
The bag.
Secure the bag. Amen? Secure the bag. 1998 was a year that was a milestone in my life. It was the year that I graduated high school. And there was another milestone in my life that took place a little bit prior to that. I was invited among 24 student athletes in the city of St. Paul in Minneapolis to be honored by the Jack and Jill Association of America for a scholarship And we were presented these scholarships at this this event called the Botillion. For us to receive our scholarships, we were all given this this assignment. And the assignment was for us to either write a poem, write an expressional page, or write a letter to yourself, defining yourself as a black man. And the name of each letter is called Black Man Am I. This assignment that I was given was the assignment that allowed me to stumble up on my bag to find out where my gift was. And I'm gonna go ahead and play the clip of that right now for y'all to listen to it. Here it is.
Black man am I. And they always ask me, who do you aspire to be like? And I say, I wanna be like an African war song, a spiritual slave song. I wanna be lyrical explosions of a new blues rhythm music. I wanna be lyrical, I wanna be explosions of what was, is, and always will be. And they say, well, what do you mean? And so I say, I want to be Hughes, Bolt, the boys. I want to be Martin, Malcolm, Farrakhan, Hampton. I can name for days. I want to be in the tradition of what was, is, and always will be. And they say, well, you have to be more specific. And so I say, I want to be Medina, people oriented. I want to be them, they, us, we, I and I blackness, not as in the cadence, but as in life, livelihood, as in things unseen. I want to be us, warmth, love, and things that I love. I want to be the expressions of what was, is, and always will be. And so they say, well, who do you think you are? And I say, a black man of honor, Darrell Williams.
Amen. Amen. That was 17-year-old Darrell Williams. This one is for my young people. Well, actually, anyone in the room that's under the age of 99, this is for you too. Your future is wrapped in the present of your past. So you must secure your bag. And you're probably asking, what, Darrell, what does that mean? I mean, that's kind of like a poetry riddle. What's happening? It means that your destiny has been preordained by God before the foundations of the earth. The things that that have happened to you in your past life have been preparation for you to do the things, have been preparation for you to find your gift, to find your bag, to find your anointing, that thing that God has specifically for you. He tailor-made you just for that thing. That is where you will find your bag, because God wants to use all of those things in your bag so he can get the glory out of your life. Amen? Amen. Amen. When I was 17, when you saw me in that video, one of my biggest questions at that time was, why am I here? What is my purpose? Is life pointless? Does it have a point? Is there something else that I'm supposed to be doing? Why am I here? And I would get no answers. You know why? Because I was asking myself. The product never knows its purpose without clear directions from its manufacturer. Raise your hand if you've ever misused a product for the wrong reasons. Yeah, you're not alone. When I was younger, I'm gonna tell you this, young people, don't ever do this. I took a baseball bat and I swung it at a basketball. Y'all know what happened? The ball hits the bat, or the bat hits the ball, and because of the ball has bounce to it, the bat bounces back to your face. I got the scar to prove it. Yeah. Yeah. Misuse of products. You can't mix sports like that. When we misuse things, they become dysfunctional. When we are misused because we don't know the instructions, we also become dysfunctional. Amen? Amen. We need to really make sure that we are following what the order is for God so we don't end up in dysfunction. And as y'all see me do some little Christian hip hop a little bit earlier today, in my early teens, I seen Christian hip hop at this show at a church that was a few blocks from my house. And I grew up in the church, so I've never heard anybody rap about Jesus. And I was so mesmerized. I was like, wait a minute, what? You can do that? You can rap about Jesus? It blew my mind, but it was a seed deposited that I didn't even know was there. Amen? I wrote some poems in high school, as you can see. I enjoyed it, but I never really gave it any thought. Fast forward a few years later into my 20s, I was still asking myself the same question. What is my purpose? Lord, what would you have me do? And then shortly after having my son at 22, I realized that if I didn't find the purpose and I continued my dysfunctional life, that my dysfunction would be passed down to my son, because you can pass dysfunction down from generation to generation. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Paul's letter reminds us that you can also pass down faith from generation to generation. Who's encouraged about that? Yeah. Amen? Amen. I was traveling down the road of dysfunction. I was misusing relationships. I had immense heartache. I was aimlessly searching for something to fill me, to find what my purpose was. And in the midst of being lost, trying to ask myself, I had a near-death experience. An attempt was made on my life. But the weapon was formed, but it did not prosper, because I'm right here standing in front of you today. Amen. Amen. Shortly after that attempt, I sat down with my dear Uncle Billy, God rest his soul. And he pulled me to the side. He kept it real with me. He said, Darrell, listen. He said, does it feel like everywhere that you go, that trouble just keeps finding you? And at the time, it was just so much stuff happening. And he slowed me down. In the moment, I was like, what's your point, Uncle Billy? He said, do you remember Jonah? Do you remember when God gave Jonah an assignment and he did everything he could to not do the assignment, and what happened to him? He found himself in a position that was very, very, very compromising, to say the least. And at the time when Uncle Billy told me this, I didn't say anything back to him. Actually, I tried to make it seem like I wasn't really listening. But something happened after that day. There was a seed planted because of my Uncle Billy. Amen? Amen? Amen. God is really gracious with us, y'all. The seed was planted, but I wasn't ready to receive it. So I was still going in the wrong directions. Right? How many of you have ever used Google Maps? Raise your hand. When you put in the destination, it'll tell you where you need to go, right? But God is kind of like Google Maps in a way. Like, God will give you a direction, and if you keep making the wrong turns, he won't stop telling you where to go. He won't say, oh, no, you went too far. You're at the point of no return. You will not get to that destination. He won't say, you know what, I'm done talking to you. I'm turning myself off because you don't listen to me. Amen? No, he just graciously reroutes you to your final destination. You just have to be willing to receive. Amen? Amen. So after that conversation with Uncle Billy, I don't know how many months it was after, but I found myself back in church, amen, and I rededicated my life to Christ on the same day that my son was being dedicated. Amen. I promise you, a week after that dedication, I started getting poetry again. Like really good poetry, too, because it was coming from the Word of God, amen. And I was so excited about these poems. It was like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these poems, but I'm getting all this poetry, and I'm writing it down, and I'm jotting all these poems down. And this one poem in particular, was directly from the Word of God. And I called my cousin at the time, who I knew was a producer, and I said, "Hey, cuz, listen, bro, I just wrote a rap." And he laughed at me because I'm not a rapper. Like, he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, "Darrell, dude, go do something else." And I said, "Look, Jeremy, listen, you have to let me come to the studio. I wrote a rap. I'm serious." And so he's like, "Okay, you're pushing me. Come on." So I went to the studio, and the first beat he played, I said, "Let's use that one." So I get into the booth, and I record the song in one take. If you ever recorded music before, that is miraculous. Nobody records a song in one take. And so when I came out of the booth, he looked at me, he said, "Oh, you're really a rapper." He's like, "Nobody records a song in one take." That was amazing. I mean, and my spirit was so high. I walked out of the studio and I was thinking to myself, I said, "I think I just found my bag. I think I found the thing that God has given me. I think I found the direction that I need. I think I believe I need to go." God had given me rap poetry to give me rap. So for the past 15 years, I've been making Christian hip hop for the youth, the inner city, for the next generation. Later, I found out that the acronym for rap, R-A-P, is, rhythm and poetry. So God given me poetry before I even knew why he gave it to me. 2025, my social media inbox is full of testimony after testimony about students who have heard my songs or heard my music and have wanted to read their Bible, wanted to pray. There was one student in particular whose life was saved from a song because they were thinking about, they had some suicidal ideations and they heard a song and it stopped them. When I get messages like that, that encourages me. I'm far from famous and I don't seek fame from Christian hip hop. But when I get a message like that, it's like God is personally coming to me, handing me a Dove Award. It's like he's handing me a Grammy, a GMA. And when we find the thing that God gives us, that particular thing that's in your bag, when you operate to the capacity of your creativeness and your createdness, you find something that a fortune can't give you. You find something that fame can't give you. You find something that social status, likes, comments, follows, retweets can't give you, because it came from God, right? We have to understand that what God gave us is for us. And most recently, I want to shout out my Mercy Youth. Most recently, we wrote a worship song together with our Mercy Youth, which is just powerful. And it's based on 2 Timothy. I believe God has given me a gift to encourage other students and other people to find their gifts. I have a student in the room that actually jumped on one of my Christian hip hop songs last month. Amen. 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 When you find the thing that God gives you and you stand on business with that thing, know that God will use it in a way that you know it's him and not you. When he gave me poetry and it turned into rap, I said, "No, this is definitely him, because it's not in my ability. I didn't grow up rapping." That was God. I want to give you three things before I go back to Minneapolis. The first thing I want to give you to put into your bag is this: to silence the shame. Can I hear y'all say that? Silence the shame. Paul reminded Timothy in this verse, he said, "For the spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner." When you find your bag, your gift, your anointing, that very thing that the enemy will try to steal that thing from you and make you feel ashamed for using it. Make you feel ashamed of your testimony. Make you feel ashamed of what makes you unique and makes you special. But that thing that you have paired with your testimony, all that God has brought you through, can set someone else free. Your testimony ain't just for you. Stop holding it for yourself. Amen? Amen. Your testimony is for others, for you to share for others, to bring people to closer to Jesus, to invite them into the glory of what God is doing and has done in your life. It's important that you're not timid about your testimony, young people. Don't be timid, because the enemy wants nothing more than to choke out your flame. The enemy wants nothing more than to bury your gift, to stop you, because you become a problem to his kingdom. Whatever your gifting is, whatever the Lord has equipped you with, all that you have in your bag, your testimony and your gift, is so valuable for the kingdom of God. Don't devalue what you have, because everything you have in your bag is useful for the glory of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Our next thing that we want to put in our bags is for us to suffer well. When I wrote that down, Pastor Ted, I said, Holy Spirit, you want me to talk about suffering well? That's a tough one. Are you sure, Lord? Suffering well? Okay. Paul said this about it. He said, rather join me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us into a holy life, not because of anything that we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. The early church understood the risk of presenting the gospel, the risk of loss of life, the risk of loss of freedom, the risk of loss of reputation, the risk of loss of finances, the risk of loss of family for the gospel. But they had a mission, they had a vision, and they had a call and access to the Holy Spirit and the power of God. A holy life will require us to suffer. Suffering will bring us closer to our Savior and also bring us closer to the commission, the great mission to bring disciples to Jesus. Amen? As a church, unfortunately, we become accustomed to the comforts and the assurances of not suffering. And we can often feel and think that suffering is a form of punishment. In actuality, suffering is not a form of punishment. It's a purifying place. It's a place where we have to be real and we have to be raw before our God. And we have to trust God wholeheartedly in our situation, because without him, we will just continue to suffer. Amen? Amen. So let us suffer well. My last point. It's the last thing you need to put in your bag. Actually, it is your bag. Secure the bag. Paul told Timothy, he said, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Amen. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Amen. Amen? I got an amen corner over there. Family, listen, it is our job. It is our job to secure the bag. And it's the Holy Spirit who equips us with that. You may be here as a young person ending Project Timothy on your journey, finding your bag, opening up. It looks fresh and new and clean. That's beautiful. Or you might be here who's been fumbling your bag for a while. Or you may be someone that's like, where is my bag? What is he talking about? Well, I want to tell you, today is your day. Today is your day to come and pick up your bag and be encouraged. So I want to invite you today to ask the Holy Spirit to assist you in finding your bag, assist you in guarding the good deposit. Each of us have been gifted with something different. Your bag maybe rap differently than mine. I don't know how many Christian hip-hop artists are in here. But one thing is true about your bag. Your bag carries the same weight as mine. Your bag is made by the same designer as mine. Your bag is just as expensive as mine. And the Holy Spirit wants to use everything inside of your bag to bring the glory to God. So let's silence the shame. Let's suffer well. And let's secure the good deposit with the help of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen.